You're listening to Talk Radio X, the talk of Mulberry.
I'd like a keg of beer, please.
You don't say.
Yeah, how much is that?
Here your ID, sonny. You little bastard just won't give up, will you? Listen, no ID, no goddamn beer. Can't you get that through your thick skull?
Give me a keg of beer.
And these.
Oil. They call it liquid gold, but I prefer my liquid cold. Go from town to town in the cups in my way. I drink your milkshake.
You guys know a guy named Jimmy? You totally look like his brother. You totally look like his brother, man. You do.
Wiener poopy.
Gypsy woman told my mother before I was born. She said, you got a boy child coming. And you gonna be a son of a gun. Won't make pretty women jump and shout. And the world gonna know what you're all about. But you're gonna be.
One, never underestimate your opponent. Expect the unexpected. Two, take it outside. Never start anything inside the bar unless it's absolutely necessary. And three, be nice.
Come on.
If somebody gets in your face and calls you a cocksucker, I want you to be nice.
Okay.
Ask him to walk, but be nice. If he won't walk, walk him, but be nice. If you can't walk him, one of the others will help you, and you'll both be nice. I want you to remember that it's a job. It's nothing personal.
Uh-huh. Being called a cocksucker and personal?
No. It's two nouns combined to elicit a prescribed response.
I wonder if somebody calls my mama a whore.
Is she? I want you to be nice until it's time to not be nice.
Oh, man! Dude, this is crazy. She called. She said, I can't wait for you to get there.
Seth, oh, that sounds like she fully wants it, man. Oh, yeah. Who's gonna give it to her, huh, my man?
You. That's who.
Yeah. You guys on MySpace, or...
So joke's on you.
Hey, everybody! We're back! Welcome back to Mulberry. The J-Strom here from the Pop Culture District of Mulberry. Episode 114, Steven.
Get out.
You're back, Steven. You're here. You missed the Oscar show, but you were back in our presence. Thank you for being here.
I terribly, terribly regret missing the Oscar show.
So do
Sounds
I.
like it was a lot of fun.
It was. It wasn't the same without you here, and it sucks having to talk to you on the phone because quality sucks, you know?
But next year. Next year.
Every time it ends, I'm like, I'm never doing that again. But, you know, in a year's time, I'll be like, okay, I'm back. Let's welcome Bill to the show. It's Bill!
Bill? Mulberry Bill?
Mulberry Bill! How
Thank
are you,
you
doing? The Mulberry Historian! How are you doing, Bill? I'm out of practice. I don't remember how I introduced you, Bill.
I'm fine. Sitting here in Ohio in the middle of the White Death, the blizzard of 08.
Wow. Yeah, we had snow here in Texas this week. Yesterday, I kept seeing reports. We have 6 inches of snow here. I mean, literally less than 20 miles away. We had no snow where I live. Not at all. It's like it missed our block.
We had a light dusting where I was, and yeah. Then nothing.
It seemed like
God doesn't like you.
But here's what happens in Texas. It snows. It accumulates, maybe. Sometimes it doesn't, but it accumulates.
It's probably all gone today.
There's snow on the grass. By evening, the sun comes out. It's all gone. It doesn't last more than a day.
Sometimes the ground's too warm.
Yeah. But, I'm not going to see snow this year. I just would see it once.
I'm about to see it next week.
So if I lived where you did, Bill, I wouldn't say stuff like that, would I?
No.
I'd be like, no, I can't handle the snow anymore. I need one of those...
It hasn't been that bad up until now. We haven't had a storm like this in a while.
Do you need, like, a tanning bed and lay in it so you don't get depressed? What is that called? The winter blues?
No, but I actually do have one of those natural lights.
Nice. See, that's what I would use.
I use it to read, though, so...
Oh, nice. You bask in natural light while you read.
I bask in natural light while I read, yeah.
Now, Bill...
It's a good alternative to being on the beach.
You know, one of our listeners said you don't give shout-outs to the chat room anymore, so let's give a shout-out. What do you say?
Who said that? It's a lie.
They will remain anonymous.
We have Andy, Barbecues Galore, Credo, Donchep, Glenn, Zell.
Barbecues Galore. I love ribs. You got some?
Yeah. I love that store, Barbecues Galore.
I love me some barbecue ribs. You know what
I
I'm
always
saying?
Go in there and look at the grills and go, wow, I want one of them. I can't understand it. Can't afford it.
Is there anything worse than going to get barbecue and the ribs don't taste good?
It's like, oh, that's the worst.
I hate that. They're just not right. You're supposed to chew them off the bone and they just fall off or something. It just falls.
I went to one place and got ribs, and I guess I didn't know that it was... I forget what style it is, but they use vinegar as the sauce instead of, like, barbecue sauce. I don't know if it's, like, a Southern or a Kansas City thing or whatever, but I was
Carolina,
just...
Carolina, isn't it?
Yeah, I think maybe that is it, but it was just like...
I love barbecue, and there's nothing worse than bad barbecue.
Yeah. And, especially the real tough kind and just bad.
We
bad,
got a
bad.
Big show today. We got a couple of losts to talk about because we weren't – I hate skipping the show. Then now we have two losts to talk about. We have Celebrity Apprentice to talk about. We're way behind on Big Brother. That show has three episodes a week, so we're six episodes behind or something. But, you know, that's okay. No one really follows it that closely. But, Bill, what is this I read about that Friday Night Lights might be saved? It might come back for a third season? Is it a rumor? Is it fact? Does anyone know yet?
I'm not sure if we have anything official yet, but Nikki Fink, that does that Deadline Hollywood blog,
right,
who normally is pretty in the know, says that NBC Universal struck a deal with DirecTV to...
somehow share
the cost of the production,
right?
And then NBC will show it, and then the 101 on DirecTV.
Oh yeah, Channel 101. Yeah, they on DirecTV they show specials and concerts on it.
Yeah. They have that horrible soap, that Passions.
Right, and they even showed like Dexter. Like they'll preview two episodes before the season starts. They'll do stuff like that. They'll like a promotional jumping off point. Like, hey, you can watch this now before it actually comes on, and kind of start.
I need to tag Dexter.
Oh, it's a great show. It's a great show. You should.
Well, you don't want to watch it on CBS.
Yeah,
what
you need to do is buy season one. I think it's like $20.
I would rent it. I wouldn't buy it. Yeah. It's a good show, but it's not a buy type of show.
But, Steven, you buy
I buy it. No, we'll give it away to a...
Steven's a buyer. He doesn't rent.
We'll give it away to somebody.
Yeah, to homeless people. Here, watch this TV. Hey, man, I don't even have a house. How am I supposed to watch a Dexter?
We'll give it to a listener.
Yes. Yes, Steve. They can pass it on. Hey, I hope everyone enjoyed the Oscar show. We had special guest Andy from the Hollywood Saloon, if you've heard of that show. We've also had Radio...
What's that show?
I don't even know what it is. Radio Dan and the intern Jessica from the Radio Dan show. It's a lovely show. It was great to have them on. They brought the funny. They were very humorous on the show.
Yes, they have a very good dynamic, those two.
Yeah, they're really good. They play off each other well.
I'll have to re-listen to the Oscar show while I'm out of town this coming week.
Yeah, Steven has not listened to it yet.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, Steven, there are spoilers in the episode. If you have not watched the Oscar show, there's a spoiler to Bridge to Terabithia.
They're all dead.
Serenity.
All of them.
Wait, what is it? What else? 310 to Yuma. Atonement. There is no longer one to No Country for Old Men. And they're right. No. I think that's it.
Firefly.
No Country for Old Men was too good to spoil, so we edited it out.
Now, Bill,
Atonement, on the other hand, was horrible.
Let's talk about this. Right. The Oscar show, I use this software called Propaganda. It's a great podcast editing tool. I love it. I've been using it for the years we've been doing the show. I become a master editor with it. It's so simple. It's fantastic. You know, I'm just kidding about the master part.
Master blaster.
I've learned to edit, basically. And for some reason, it crapped out on me after the Oscar show, the very next day. It would not work, and there's nothing I could do. Bill, you can testify for me.
Testify!
You could testify that I was frustrated.
As long as we have a voucher.
I was getting so pissed off because I just wanted to put out the friggin' show, and I couldn't. And probably as I was editing it, sometimes when you put out a live show, you want to have as few edits as possible because we're doing a live show. Maybe little mess ups or pops or a loud cough or something like that. But if I would have gone through it, I might have edited those little things out. Might have edited probably not the Bridge to Terabithia thing because that was funny. The Atonement thing, I haven't seen the movie, but I probably might have bleeped it, Bill, something like that.
It doesn't matter. It has no bearing on the movie.
But what I'm saying is that, I basically said, okay, Bill, I'm saying this to you. You handle this because there's nothing I can do. My hands are tied.
You're laying the blame on me.
No, I'm not. I'm saying I wanted to give you as few things as possible to do. So I said, just bleep that one thing out, and that's it. That's all that matters. So, as far as I know, most people like the show, but then we hear from one of our listeners, Brock.
Pissed him off.
Yeah, we, you know, we're friends
with
Brock. Pissed
off Smiley, too.
We've played Xbox Live with Brock. He's a good friend, but he said it's not funny to do that. And, yeah, usually it's not funny. We were having a good time during the Oscar show. Everything was good and fun. We were having a good time. And you don't think about things like that, really.
No, and we had really all seen the movies.
Right, and
or if we were going to almost see them, we
but
would
did you
have
see Brock was paranoid? He said, "I skipped through this, I skipped through that." I was afraid you would have spoilers about everything. No,
I even bleeped out the spoilers Dan gave for Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium.
Yeah. So whatever. I mean, don't listen to the show if you're afraid of the spoilers. See, I don't read the Harry Potter books, Bill. I just see the movies, and some people would be like, "Well, that's." What the hell's wrong with you? The books are better. I'm sorry. I just started watching the movies and I haven't read the books.
You're not going to go back.
Yeah, the books are overlong and tedious at times, and you don't have time for that
crap. I don't want any Harry Potter spoilers to the next two books because they're going to be made into movies, and I'll see them. And it's really surprising that I haven't heard any spoilers. And Bill, you have not given me any spoilers of Harry Potter.
No, I refuse to do that because I know how much you enjoy those movies. I'm not going to tell you what happens.
Like, you would never give spoilers to something that, like, some Dark Knight spoiler or something.
No.
It just seemed like Atonement. You had just seen the movie. You were annoyed by it.
It's just such a, like, a highfalutin, pious piece of shit. It was like an Ivory Merchant PBS master. You know, right. Masterpiece
and,
theater movie.
And I'm not defending anything we did. It's, you know, we were giving spoilers. I gave a spoiler to Serenity thinking it would be funny. And hopefully it was for some people. I'm not going to apologize for it.
No, if you, I'm not either.
If you have a problem with me giving my Serenity spoiler, it's your fault for not having seen it yet. That's the way
I
see it.
I don't care if the majority of, you know, critics for the big newspapers think that Atonement is a masterpiece. In my book, it's not. If it gets 85% on Metacritic, that means there's 15% that didn't like it.
Right, but
and I'm part of that 15%.
But from now, I mean, you won't give a spoiler to an M. Night Shyamalan movie, right? Like the new one,
no,
The Happening.
No, I wouldn't do that. I do it for movies that I feel are a waste
spoiler
of time
because something happens.
Yeah, but
it.
You only do it from now on, Bill. Like we don't want to give spoilers on Nora Mulberry. We'll warn you first. Say, I'm about to give a spoiler to this, Brock, fast forward, or something like that.
Now we have to warn listeners by name.
No, we're
Brock,
not.
Brock, Swiley, fast forward this.
No, and I think Swiley was just having fun there, but here's what I'm going to say. It's no longer spoiler alert, it's a Brock alert. So we're going to call it
a Brock alert.
What do you think?
I like it.
That's great. Good stuff. Okay, we have a voicemail real quick. Let's play a voicemail, and then we're going to get into some entertainment. What do you say?
Hey, guys. It's Rick from Fort Worth. Holy crap. Okay, so I went and bought an HD DVD player, and then a week later, it loses the format war, so now I have to go and buy a PS3 for the freaking Blu-ray. How's that for irony? Okay, anyway, just wanted to let you guys know that you need to see Justice League, The New Frontier, if you guys haven't seen it already. It is amazing, it is incredible, it is stupendous, it is probably the greatest Justice League movie I've seen thus far. And otherwise, that's pretty much it. Hope you guys are doing good, and talk to you later. Bye.
So, I have had... Justice League, The New Frontier on my Xbox 360, Bill. I downloaded it from Xbox Live in 720p, and I still have it sitting there. I haven't gotten to watch it. You've seen it. You said it's awesome, right?
Yeah, I really loved it. It's, you know, the pacing is a little off at times. It moves a little slow. But
it's pretty badass for an animated
Justice
League. Yeah,
it's totally badass. I love the art style. I love the just everything about it. I loved the book that... Darwin Cook did, or Darren Cook.
Yes.
I don't even know how to
Darwin.
Pronounce his name.
Darwin Cook.
Darwin Cook. I have that book, and it's terrific, and I love just seeing it done on the way it was done. It's just really, really good.
Well, I'm going to watch
it. And it's PG-13, so it's not like catering to kidsy stuff.
Right. And I'll watch it this week. That way we can talk about it next week. But, Rick, I'm so sorry you bought an HD DVD player recently.
I wouldn't be sorry. There's so many out there that are great.
Well,
a lot of those movies that are on HD DVD aren't going to hit Blu-ray for a long time. I mean, Universal and Paramount,
Well, here's the deal.
Aren't going to go back and revisit a lot of those for a while.
Well, honestly, if you bought one for like $79, that's a great deal because that's one of the cheapest up-converting good DVD players you can get. Plus,
yeah, not only that, it's one of the the quality on the up convert is tremendous.
It is. I Netflix standard definition DVDs because I know they'll look great on it. For instance, movies that are on Blu-ray that I can't watch, I'll get them on standard def, and you know I know it's not HD, but still it's great, and I have a lot of standard def DVDs that I can watch on it. But
plus, your set does a really good job of up conversion too.
Right, it does. And another thing is the HD DVD players, or the HD DVD titles, if you go on Amazon, you can get a lot for like $12, some $10, deep discount. You can pick
up. Yeah, deepdiscount.com. I just got like 8 of them for $70. I mean, it's insane.
I did notice that Circuit City has a deal right now. If you bought recently an HD DVD player, you could take it back and get a credit towards your Blu-ray. It's not going to pay for a Blu-ray player because you bought it for probably $129.
Not going to see a Blu-ray player at the price an HD DVD player is in a long time.
Yeah, that's what sucks. And one thing I read today on joystick.com was about Xbox, basically Microsoft saying that, you know, you never know, there could be a Blu-ray add-on sometime in the future, but probably
Well, they're saying that they're in talks with Sony, but they don't have to, that's the weird thing about the rumor. They don't have to be in talks with Sony. They can easily get it through a third party and not even have to deal with Sony.
Right.
Just like, you know, just like their drive was a Toshiba drive, their HD DVD drive, they could go to Samsung and get a Blu-ray drive. It doesn't have to be from Sony.
Right. And before we go any further, Bill, I just want to say that Jeff Healey died.
Yes, he did.
Blind guitarist, singer of Roadhouse. We had a little...
Also, he had that that popular song, Angel Eyes.
Yes, Angel Eyes. Also, Leonard Rosenman died, the composer. He did Rebel Without a Cause, East of Eden. He did the RoboCop 2. Please don't hold that against him. But because Basil Paul
Azurus, wasn't that bad. The score really wasn't that bad.
It's just, yeah. I'm not going to speak ill. I'm not going to speak ill of the dead, so you will be missed, guys. But this episode's dedicated to Jeff Healey and Brock, who is very upset about spoilers.
And you know what? I think...
Jeff Healey dies in Roadhouse. Oh, my God! Spoiler!
I want to throw a dedication out there to Patrick Swayze, too, who came out in the news. He was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer this week, which is not good.
Yeah, and the reports were he was staying in one of the Olsen Girls' lofts or something.
Oh, jeez.
He's dying. He has a week to live. But actually, it was cleared up for me what's going on with Patrick because Whoopi Goldberg talks to Patrick Swayze on the phone. So she talked about it on The View. And actually, The View was actually helpful with information. Let's check this out.
And then in the news about my friend Patrick Swayze. Now, I've not spoken to him, but I will tell you that his physician went public and said he's got a very limited amount of the disease, and it appears to be responding well to treatment thus far. All of the reports stating that there's a time frame of his prognosis and his physical side effects are absolutely not true. So when I won my Academy Award, the only person I really thanked was Patrick because had he not said to Jerry Zucker, I'm not
sounds
making this
like
movie
it.
Unless you put Whoopi Goldberg in there.
That's, what
that's how I got the job.
Did he know you?
He sounds like Sylvia Brown.
You know, but he liked what I did and he knew I was writing it.
And you won an Oscar.
And I won an Oscar because of Patrick Swayze. That's so, awesome. Baby, as always.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Patrick. So you got
she hasn't talked to him, but her exposition.
So we'll try not to hold that against you, Patrick Swayze. No, I'm just kidding. We have one more voicemail, but I got to say this about the voicemail, Bill.
She was his original choice for Baby, too. And
yeah, Dirty
I heard
Dancing.
She was the original choice for the part that Meatloaf got in Black Dog.
Nice. No, it was the Randy Travis role, I think.
Oh, the Randy Travis role. Sorry.
No, okay. I've got a voicemail I'm going to play here. I'm going to play it for you guys, but let me ask you guys before you listen to it. Didn't we cover this already? Let's check it out.
Ba-dum-bum-bum, 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 ba-dum-bum-bum.
What is that music bit? I'm dying of curiosity.
Didn't
please help.
Hello?
What?
Please help me.
Please help.
We already cleared this up, didn't we?
That sounded like Andy.
Was
from the Hollywood
Andy?
Saloon.
Andy, was that you?
Giving us a hard time.
Hey, Andy, do you guys know a guy named Jimmy? Huh? You know a guy named Jimmy?
Looks like his brother.
You guys
you
know a guy named Jimmy?
So that is the music from Dawn of the Dead. The end credits, you'll see the zombies walking around. Everyone's dead. Oh, spoiler alert. Oh, wait, they're zombies. Never mind. Of course, they're undead. And they play the Dawn of the Dead music. This music is Dawn of the Dead.
Or it is also...
It is also Robot Chicken. All right, we cleared it up, I think. Yeah! Let's do entertainment.
They need to put that in show notes so that they know never to ask again.
No, I mean, it's great. It's a great, infectious piece of music. I will be humming that. Dun, 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 dun,
I always hum it.
I love it.
Because I'm afraid of zombies.
Yes, in fact, I want a zombie massacre scene. Guys with machine guns, shotguns, a montage just to this music. Like,
I want a Goncada zombie scene.
Hell yeah. A pommel horse in the center of the mall.
a little Goncada.
Hi-ya! Whoa! That'd be awesome. All right, guys, let's do entertainment. You know, I talk about not anticipating films anymore. I let the movie come to me, Steven. You know that's my philosophy. Has been for years now. But I got to tell you, I am so excited about 10,000 BC by Roland Emmerich and Dean Devlin, or I don't even know if Dean is still friends with Roland. But
Roland Emmerich.
I'm sure it's got fantastic reviews. It looks incredible. It shows woolly mammoths running around, jumping all over things. It's got cavemen and shit. So,
it's got cave people with perfect teeth and bright blue eyes.
Yeah, and they've discovered the wheel already, but that's cool.
And there's dinosaurs and cavemen living at the same time.
Not only that, living together. Mass hysteria. Saber-tooth tigers and dogs living together. Okay, but here's the thing, Bill. I'm looking on Rotten Tomatoes like, hey, I'm anticipating this film is going to be good. And 6 fresh reviews, 68 rotten.
But those 6 fresh reviews aren't even positive. They're like, oh, the special effects were good.
Yeah, I read, this movie sucks, but it sure is entertaining. You know, that kind of thing. So, guilty pleasure type flick.
No, this movie isn't even a guilty pleasure. This is just disastrous.
But here's the thing.
I remember seeing the trailer for the first time and just thinking, holy shit, that looks terrible.
And Dean Devlin... Or Roland Emmerich, whichever one of those guys directs the movie, I think it's Roland Emmerich, he's done, like, The Patriot, Independence Day, Godzilla, Day After Tomorrow.
So far, that's not a really good track record.
Day After Tomorrow. So here, what I'm trying to say is, his movies aren't necessarily great, but he makes a lot of money at the box office, and people generally like it. This almost looks like he's directed his first total turkey that just sucks, kind of thing.
Yeah, but his movies are rated on, like, a level of shit. Like, it's real shitty, not so shitty.
It's like a bucket of ice cream with one turd in it. If you just eat around the turd, it's not so bad. But don't get any of that turd in your mouth.
You just get a little residual fecal taste.
God, that's nasty. But as long, if there was a
shit ice cream.
If there's a talking ape in this, it might be worth it.
Oh, shit, yeah.
A really nice ape friend named Chaka.
So this is
going
to be like one of these completely non-talky movies?
I don't know. Do they just grunt or what? Now, what is it with the
Quest for Fire?
I just read today about they're making a comedy Lost. Steven, you will hate this.
They beat the living crap out of each other with bones.
They're making Land of the Lost the movie, and Will Ferrell will play the dad.
Okay, can we just say Will Ferrell, 15 minutes are over, stop, please?
Done.
Who's going to give it to her?
He's
I'm
not funny.
Man.
Not
you.
Funny. It's not
that
funny.
Too.
You know what? I've never really found him funny. I've found him entertaining, He does certain things that are entertaining.
Yeah, he can make me laugh. But
I think, I don't know, it's just like, it's just too much. The whole Funny or Die thing and all, I mean, it's overexposure.
He may be making too many movies that are exactly like each other. Like, even, yeah. Like, I was like, oh, what is this Step Brothers movie he's making? I watch a trailer, I'm laughing at it. It looks funny.
But I think I'm laughing at it more because of John C. Reilly.
Yeah, that looks funny. It's like this couple, both have deadbeat sons, and they become stepbrothers and all this stuff, and hilarity ensues.
I kind of put him kind of like the Ben Stiller. Ben Stiller's good when he's not playing a character.
When he's
Ben Stiller being the character he played in Dodgeball.
Right. That was really bad.
He can't act when he's playing a character.
Right. But when at the same time, Dodgeball was entertaining, is good, not bad.
It's entertaining.
It's a stupid, fun movie.
You look around him because he's just so...
Right, he was really hamming it up in there.
Yeah, way too hammy.
He's trying too hard, I guess. But I guess what I said...
And that's what Will Ferrell is exactly.
Here's my new favorite term, and I've been using it a lot, and then it'll eventually die out, but... Hit or miss. Will Ferrell's hit or miss.
Yes, no, definitely he's a miss. He's miss. Maybe hit.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. It's more miss than hit.
That new basketball movie he made.
I watched Semi Pro the other day.
How was
it?
You saw it in the theater, right, Bill?
Yeah. And
you can admit
it's
to not paying
not
for that turd, dude.
Good.
What was
it's not thing? Very good at all.
I don't know. Do you? I think you do.
I told him,
do
he said you? He could admit to not paying for that turd.
Yeah, yeah, no one will hold against you. All right, guys. Let's try
this fecal talk.
Yeah.
Turd, shit.
Let's talk about strawberries on What's on Our TiVo. Now, Bill, you've talked about your hatred of Tyra Banks.
From time to time, talking about
booty and stuff like that. She used to be hot when she was just
irritating. She thinks she's funny and she's not.
Now, but she does have incredible interviewing skills. Let's check out this interview she had with LaToya Jackson. Hard hitting stuff.
What's the longest you've gone without a shower?
I think a day.
What does it matter?
No, honestly, a day. My mother's always said if you do skip a shower or something, you give yourself a
bird
bath.
Your mom calls it a bird bath?
It's like a bird bath.
My mom calls it a whore bath.
A what?
I swear she does. A what bath?
A whore bath.
A whore bath?
A whore bath.
Why a whore bath?
My mom calls it a whore bath because she says clean whores clean themselves between customers. So, yeah, she calls it a whore bath. I mean, she didn't call that to me until I was like 30 years old, but she's like, at least do a whore bath today, Tyra. You stink.
Yeah, I'll do a whore bath.
You'll do a whore bath. And how many days in a row do you do a whore bath?
Oh, no. That's
just one day.
That's my one day. Yeah.
Nice. Can I smell you?
You know, I don't want Barbara Walters specials anymore. I want Tyra Banks specials.
I'm so disturbed. I don't know what to say there. Like, I'm sure Janet Jackson would...
At least do a whore bath today, Tyra. You stink.
I'm sure Janet Jackson was mortified by the fact that...
You'll do a whore bath.
All right, Foggy. I think they said whore bath 70 times in that clip.
Yeah, and aren't the Jacksons like Jehovah Witnesses?
I don't know if they are anymore.
Oh my God, a whore bath.
It's like, whore bath? I don't even know what a whore is.
I showed my breast on TV. Don't you have any questions about that?
Whore bath, whore bath. At least
they're talking about a whore bath in that crap.
The fact that, you know what, now we know where Tyra gets her personality from, her mother.
Her mama, yeah. But I got to admit to you guys something. Regis entertains me. Kelly Ripa, she's hot. Let's check this out. They're just so great together. You got Radio Dan and Jessica. You also have Regis and Kelly.
I saw you in the sunshine out there in Hollywood last week, and you were loving it. You were eating it up. You like all that glitz and glamour. Yeah, sure. See? She's not kidding right now. It got into... It got into your psyche, into your soul.
You know what I liked about Hollywood, and I'm going to tell you right now.
What's that, baby?
We were out to dinner with friends, and I said, you know, I'm thinking about having Botox, and at least 47 people gave me their card.
Right now, a grand is laughing somewhere in the world.
Yeah, they're pretty funny. I ate that up.
You were eating it up.
Yes, I was. That was creepy. Now, you know what was funny is recently I was kind of listening to old episodes, Bill. Sometimes you think about maybe we should do another clip show eventually when we were going to skip a week off. But then I think, no, I'm not going to do this. But I was listening like episode 70 of something of Nowhere in Mulberry. We were talking about Britney. And I was like, you know what they should do? They should create a celebrity rehab reality show. How entertaining would that be? And then I realized, holy shit, they do have that now. I invented it first. I deserve royalties.
Dr. Drew was listening.
He was. He's a huge listener of Nowhere in Mulberry. And this week they finally got China. China, the ex-wrestler who used to be all bulky and...
country.
Now she's all thinned out and she's a junkie or an alcoholic.
She still sounds like Herman Munster, though.
And they're like, could you please, you're in rehab, admit that you're an addict. Let's see what happens. It's genius.
I got to speak for everybody here for a second. Could you please just say, I'm China Doll and maybe I'm an addict?
I
swell music.
Come on, you can do it. Come on!
Well, I am Joni China Doll Lauer. And
who?
I might just be an addict.
She did it, Steve. She did it. I'm so proud of her. I'm very
proud of you, Joni China Doll Lauer.
Now, in these VH1 shows, you can't stop there. You also got to watch Rock of Love with that one guy from Poison.
No, you don't.
What's his name? I just blanked on it.
Brett Michaels.
Flavor Flav.
Brett Michaels, the charismatic Brett
Michaels.
Oh,
yeah, Rock of Love. Rock of Love.
Not Flavor like Love. Flavor, that's later, Bill. But what's funnier than having some bimbo, some busty bimbo, ruin the Star Spangled Banner?
Oh.
Let's check it out.
Roseanne Barr ruining it.
There's two big issues with Daisy's performance. One, Daisy, she's tone deaf. And two, she doesn't know the words to the national anthem.
For the land of the free and the home.
But she's hot, Steven. Did you deal with her?
Her voice isn't, I mean, she's terrible. I mean,
she has done over.
I don't think she claimed to be a singer, did she?
Yeah, I mean, for an average person singing it.
Yeah, what are you going to do? But it's a reality show in VH1, and they need material.
And you have to have a catty woman complaining.
Now, there's this MTV show. I have never heard of it. I think this is the premiere episode called That's Amore, and it has some foreigner dude who, of course.
Oh, yeah. He was the Italian guy that was on the Tila Tequila show.
Okay. Apparently, if you're entertaining on one reality show, you get your own.
Sweet. Yeah, same as like the skank that was on Flavor of Love.
Right, New York. Now,
yeah.
This guy, he likes this chick. He thinks she's hot, but he's into something kind of weird. He likes smelling girls' armpits. Let's check it out.
There was like a little smell coming up from somewhere, and I realized that Kristen, she has a little problem under the armpits. Now, I got a question. Are you wearing any... Because I can smell something. Are you all sweat? That's probably what it is. And I'm just saying. Can you put it up a little bit?
Oh, my gosh. Are you wanting to smell my armpits?
It smells amazing.
Do you like it?
That's why I want to smell it closer. Give me a little...
Are they in a pizzeria?
Yes, they are.
On. Give me a little Parmesan on there.
His name is Gino.
Oh!
I can't.
Oh!
Oh!
Ooh.
Ooh, some garlic, please. Oh, that's nice.
No.
Now give me the sauce.
Hey.
Wait.
No.
Oh, it okay, smells like anchovy.
I kind of feel like the armpit thing was something that has to do with his culture, which I'm down with. You know, that's what I'm here for. I'm trying to be a part of that. So if we're sniffing pits, we're sniffing pits.
I don't think that has anything to do with his culture. I
think she's talking about all of pits.
Okay, guys. Moment of truth. Fantastic show. It's great. It destroys marriages. Let's check it out.
Question 14. Do you have any secrets that you believe could end your marriage?
Oh, loaded
it
question.
It's a very tough question, and that answer...
Every question on that show is loaded.
Darren, what do you think?
Have you ever had sex with something other than a human? Oh!
Now that's a question to ask.
Does that include...
Because then the feds could move in and arrest them for bestiality here.
Are you talking about furniture or animals? What?
Yes.
Man, they really that milk it out, don't they?
True.
Oh.
Dude, they need the music from Dancing with the Stars.
I don't care who you are.
Oh my God, what a bitch.
I don't care who you are. If your wife says something like that, you're not going, you know what? I don't need to know. It will rack your brain. Yeah. You'll never stop thinking about it.
I still love you, honey.
That day you came home, you smelled like you had somebody else's penis on your breath. Sorry.
And I told you I just ate a huge submarine sandwich. Guess what? It wasn't a sandwich. It was a greenus. Remember, Stephen, we don't say penis on the show.
Greenus.
Now, do you guys remember this guy?
Why
does your nose smell like vagina?
Do you guys remember this guy?
I'm beast, you guys. You just don't know.
Of course.
It's the gay guy named Christian. At least I think he's gay. He might be hetero. You never know. He might just be effeminate. He won Project Runway. Congratulations. Let's check it out.
So I just want to say thank you very much for coming. And thanks to my family. Hi. And, everybody looks fierce.
What?
But enjoy the show. Fierce. Thank you. Bye.
Can you sound any gayer? Whoa, this is awesome music. We had a gay club? Gay rape?
Need to put fast fears to that song
right now.
Congratulations.
Fears.
Sorry.
You over fears.
What the hell just happened? Yeah, I just won. It's really crazy.
Victoria,
I think I just grew a vagina.
How do you grow one?
So
I don't know.
And I would be honored to wear any piece of your clothing.
Thank you so much.
You're not getting any free
shit.
I'll take you up on that.
Oh, I'm gonna cry. Ooh, everybody looks fierce.
Wow, so congratulations to you guys.
I just love how tough it is for him to speak. Just like, oh, I'm so exhausted.
Now, hey, you know on Big Brother, they were doing the couples till death do us part. This week they had a special twist where they basically separated the partners. Now it's every man for himself.
They've basically ruined another gimmick for the season. They always start out strong and then go, you know, this really isn't working, so let's change it mid-show.
Or, Bill, did they have it planned all along? Because there was only three couples left. And now when you make them all singles, now there's a bunch of people now. Because the way I was viewing it is like, there's three couples. Are they ending this thing this month or... Now they've made it all... And not only that, Bill, they're letting someone who got evicted come back in the house. They've done that before.
Oh, yeah, the America's Vote.
Yeah, who do you want back in the house, Bill?
I want the hot chick in it.
Jen?
Jen, yeah. She wasn't afraid to, you know, walk around topless and She may have been a vile human being, but she was hot.
She may have been really bad at the game. You know, like, keep it a secret. You're my girlfriend. We don't want... I'm thinking about voting out Ryan. He's my boyfriend. It's a big secret, but I think I ought to tell you.
I don't like that Ryan. He's my boyfriend.
Now, what about the guy Parker? Remember, he got basically evicted because of her just being a couple with her. Also, that guy Alex got evicted because Amanda, everyone hated her.
Yeah, but he was psycho.
You know what was sad is they basically the whole thing here is Julie Chen said, when the siren sounds, something will happen. And that girl, Allison, was convinced when that siren goes off, something's going to happen where I'll get to stay.
Yes.
And when you
that's her. I love her self-inflated attitude. Like, oh, it's all about me.
Well, then when they got evicted, they went to try to open the door to leave. And it went, ram, and they were cheering. They're like, yes, we're saved. And you could see her. She's like, oh, I got more time here. They can't get rid of me. And she's like, now everyone will reconvene and revote. Only one person will be evicted, Allison or Ryan. And you just see her face like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
And it was unanimous.
I loved it. It was like from pure joy to pure terror.
You feel so sad for her only because she just convinced herself she's saying.
I loved it. No, I didn't feel bad for her at all. She was a horrible person, a horrible player.
I really think what her problem was is she was like that person, kind of like, remember James from Big Brother 6? Like, I'm going to go in there, I'm going to lie, I'm going to manipulate everybody. Yeah. But the problem is everyone talks to each other, so they know if you told one person one thing. Another thing that was great is Matt kept telling Ryan, he was like, I'm just going to tell both people, they have my vote, that way I'll be safe no matter who stays. Hey, great.
Dumbest plan ever.
Great, Matt, except for those two people talk to each other. And they say, he said he was going to vote for me. No, he said he was going to vote for me. And I love James goes up and calls him out in front of everybody. He goes, which is it? And he goes, hey, man, no, you just misunderstood me, man. It's my business. You don't need to know. And he was so...
I didn't give him my word. Yes, you did. No, I didn't.
He was, like, so caught, like... He had nothing to say. He was screaming.
Then he's like, oh, he's targeted now. He called me out. I'm targeting him.
Yeah.
I can't trust him.
So everyone knows he's not trustworthy. And
no one is.
They keep showing the clips with him and the girl Natalie, how she's in love with them. The one thing is, like, if you see, like, Big Brother After Dark and you know what's going on, when they edit an episode of Big Brother, they might show you stuff from a week ago that really didn't happen recently. They show things out of context, which can be annoying. But I got to say that they gave new life to the show in a way because the couple thing was getting old.
Yeah, well, what cracked me up is Joshua, the gay guy, and Sharon, who was voted out but brought back in because Neil left. They thought they were like the power couple, that they were going to win the whole thing.
They reminded me of last season when Dustin... He became HOH, and all of a sudden it was all about him. And
yeah.
It's so funny.
And so they thought, like, oh, we've got this in the bag. This is great. And then when it was revealed that they were going solo, he had this look on his face like,
everyone was cheering except for him. And Sharon, they were like, had this look like, no.
Yeah.
But another thing is
foiled again.
When you see when HOH goes to people's heads and then it's like the last day of the HOH, they slip into like a depression. Like, oh, you mean I don't get to be HOH the whole time? It's like, no.
Yeah, it's so funny too, because I was watching it. He's like, this is just too much for me. I need to go listen to some Britney and relax.
Yeah, you get your own CD when you win HOH, and he got some Britney to listen to. I'm thinking he's very gay.
Yeah, wow. I think when it involves Britney Spears, it kind of raises the level from just mediocre gay to flamingly gay.
What do you think, Christian? Is Joshua gay?
Ooh, everybody looks fierce.
Huh? What does that even mean?
No idea.
Okay.
You guys know a guy named Jimmy?
No. Okay.
No, but he looks fierce.
Now, last week on Celebrity Apprentice,
Tito Puente?
Tito Port now. Who the hell got Tito Ortiz, Ultimate Fighting Champion?
Tito Ortiz.
He was kicked off.
And he just looks like a silverback gorilla. Like,
nice.
He's got this, He's enormous. He's got this gigantic freaking head, and he like stumbles around. And I was just like,
by a gaggle of silverback apes.
Thanks, Art.
Nice. So he got kicked off basically, and you know what? It's funny. Omarosa screwed him last week. Trump was talking about the Dove ad. You got to create this Dove booklet. And she goes, I will be the project manager. And he goes,
yeah, she's like, I want this. Do you want this?
And he,
no, you can have it. I'll take it.
And then Trump says, and let it be known, the project manager will be to blame on this task. And she goes, why don't you take it, Tito? And they're like, yeah, Tito, you take it. He's like, okay. But this week, you can almost see it in Piers's face. Like when she's like, I will be project manager. He's like, I can finally get this bitch.
Yep.
And the whole thing was about having, Stephen, you would have liked this. They had a gallery thing, art gallery, mm-hmm. with, they're selling paintings for charity. And who does he call? Who does Piers call? But our
Ghostbusters,
our buddy. No, not Ghostbusters, Stephen. It's an 80s joke. I think it's died. No. Gordon Ramsay.
It worked too many times already.
He calls our buddy Gordon Ramsay. Let's check it out.
Hey, Sarah. Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Hi. Well, thanks. I have Gordon here.
You've got Gordon Ramsay. Excellent.
Hi, Piers.
Gordon, how are you?
I'm right. How are you?
Can you try not to swear too much in this brief conversation? I know it's almost a disease with you, but if you could just keep it straight. Continuing a task like this,
you've got to have
a great contact book. Yeah, I can't say too much about it other than I want your money. I have no problem ringing up famous friends and asking for money, and they expect me to ring them and badger them for money. I've been doing it all my life, and I'm very good at it. Gordon, I can't thank you enough. I really appreciate it. Bye. Bye-bye.
It turns out now he is really good at this.
I just want to beat Omarosa. I want to pulverize her so badly that she's not only fired, but probably never work on television again.
But here's the thing. You know, sometimes people talk themselves up, much like Joshua on Big Brother or something like that. Or Omarosa, she talks a lot of shit. But Piers, he really, what he's saying, he really does. He is a badass at what he's doing. And he seems to win every week. You know, they've lost a couple of times, but it's not always, I wouldn't necessarily even say it's his fault when it does happen. But he's been incredible at this game. And it's a good thing he knows rich people because it is for charity. That's one thing. Sometimes you think, is this really fair because they can just call? But it's for charity, so yes, it should be fair. And it's all about raising money for charity. And Omarosa, she's doing this art gallery thing. And first of all, they pick these little tiny paintings.
Yeah, and the artist is horrible. It's just like,
it looked like
this
old
jokingly
ads.
Pop culture kind of bullshit.
Yeah, and it didn't look like anything you'd want to hang on your wall or pay thousands of dollars for.
Nothing.
Is it to you?
It's something you would expect to find on the inside of some album cover.
It should at least be something I would think, you know, art is subjective, but it should be something that's at least the size. If you're going to pay $5,000, you feel like you got something, not this tiny little picture.
Yeah, you want something that'll fit on your wall.
Again, pricing and all that is subjective because if they're trying to sell to famous people, $5,000 is nothing. That's like,
right.
But
it didn't look
big
appealing.
Get for Pierce, though, was that when they looked at these artists, they had to choose from like six different artists. But what they found was this artist, they chose so many pieces that what were they limited to? Like 14 pieces, but it turned out one of the pieces was like multiple parts, so there was like 10 parts to the piece.
Right.
So they ended up having like 24 pieces instead of 14, and they could not only could they sell more, they could sell it at a higher price.
And Piers just whipped her ass. He sold everything, didn't he?
Everything, but I think three paintings
for over $50,000.
$150,000.
Oh, really? I thought it was
crazy. Yeah.
And she sold $7,000 worth of.
Yeah.
It was
sold over $150,000.
Now, there's a great moment here when he's got her in the boardroom and she starts talking about Piers being a homosexual. There's this great moment where Piers comes in there and he goes, I just want to say one thing. And he goes up and he kisses Trace Atkins on the face and he goes, you're a beautiful cowboy. And Trace goes, huh? And he doesn't think it's funny at all. Trace
no,
Atkins
he was pissed.
He's really annoyed by it. Let's check it out. It's awesome.
We have to collectively take responsibility for this loss.
I actually object to continuing using the word loss here. This is not a loss. This is this is a catastrophe.
You're right.
And I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Biblical proportions.
Right. He threatened to hit me today.
He threatened to hit Stephen, so...
I did say that, yeah. Nothing personal. Just business.
But what do you know about Prince?
I think he's in the closet. I really do.
Unbelievable. I just want to do one thing, Mr. Trump. I just want to say, Trace, you're a beautiful cowboy.
What?
What?
Where did he kiss it?
What? I mean, cheek.
Oh, okay.
Hey. Yeah. It actually was really funny. I thought it was hilarious.
Oh, that no. was cracking up.
I'm rushing with a project,
and he made
man.
Trump crack up.
And you not only lost, you got creamed. You know, I've always been a big Omarosa fan, but Omarosa, you're fired. This was not close.
Thank you for bringing me
Thank
down.
You very much.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you. I mean, if you don't...
He killed her.
No art... Yeah, that's going to be kind of tough to call. You
see,
know?
You can tell she
I
was...
I really liked the art they chose, too. This new media stuff. It looked cool. There was one piece. It was like a moving piece. It was really kind of cool.
Who's going to give it to her, huh, my man?
You.
What? You. So, I mean, yeah, somebody man. Like... maybe Pierce, maybe he knows a little more about art than...
He seems to. He knew what he was
doing. I think he's much more cultured than Omarosa.
That's what... Yeah.
And I thought it was funny, they had this whole bit where Stephen Baldwin kept, or Daniel Baldwin, who the hell is this guy?
It's Which Stephen Baldwin. Baldwin.
Okay, Stephen Baldwin, I should just look at you, Stephen. Stephen Baldwin, I don't know. He kept coming over and spying, but pretending like he wasn't, and Piers even says, I have no problem with him spying, just say you're spying, don't pretend like you're this holier-than-thou guy, you know?
So he's a cheating Christian.
He's a weasel. He is a little hypocritical weasel. I can't stand him. I can't stand his smile, his laugh, his Barney Rubble looks.
I just predict next week, Stephen Baldwin will be gone. The week after that, it'll probably be Lennox Lewis. Then it'll come down to Trace Adkins and Carol Alt, and I believe Piers will be the apprentice at the end.
Piers is going to win the whole thing. If he doesn't, it's a setup because he's the only one left with any business intelligence whatsoever.
Right. And he, we've got about 2 minutes left before a break, so we'll talk Lost as soon as we get back from break because we have a fantastic episode to talk about from last week. And then an okay episode from this week. It was
a mediocre episode this week.
But I got to say, Celebrity Apprentice has been very entertaining this season.
It has been consistently entertaining.
It was a little shaky at first because it almost felt like maybe the celebrities had trouble kind of relating. Like, we're all, you know, celebrities. Let's not step on each toes. Now they got
many celebrities.
Yeah, they don't care at this point. You know,
no.
They know Piers doesn't care whose toes he steps on.
Pretty much all the pretenders are being weeded out at this point.
And I really genuinely like Trace Adkins. You remember last week they did that Dove ad and they had him take his shirt off and they had the two other shirtless guys?
Yeah.
Was that uncomfortable or what?
That was really bizarre.
Is that the ads they couldn't even show on TV?
Right. And then they had the Carol Alt, which was fine until they had the guy biting her shoulder. What was that about?
That was weird, but I kind of liked it in that playful, sexy way.
Yeah, even
because she was really genuinely laughing, and the picture turned out really well.
You know, she didn't want to have anything to do with the photo shoot, but then once she did, it showed that, you know, she's a model. She is the best at this, so she should do it.
And she's a total MILF.
Yes. Now let's take a break, and we'll be right back, everybody. All right?
If you think ColecoVision plays all Atari cartridges...
You mean it can't?
Here's Pac-Man on ColecoVision. But here's Pac-Man on the Atari 5200 Super System.
Now you're talking.
And it doesn't work on ColecoVision.
But won't Jungle Hunt?
Not with real arcade graphics.
Ms. Pac-Man?
This Ms. plays only on the Atari 5200 Super System. And now there's an adapter.
For 2600 games?
Nearly 300 2600 games.
Super!
System. Now with a $30 rebate and Pac-Man from Atari.
A drink's delightful, the second and... Hi.
Do you remember the first time you tried...
Kiss, kiss, kissing?
But now... And when you first tried Coke, I bet you said, uh-uh, not for me. But hey, let's not let first impressions sweat, and let's try Coke again, shall we? Because once you've acquired that new wave taste, you're going to want to try it again, again, and again. Coke's delightful, the second. Catchy, isn't it? Catch the wave. Coke. Rush.
Pac-Man's cereal got a new surprise. When you look inside, it's shocking. Shocking pink, it's new Ms. Pac-Man Marshmallow.
Jell-O. She's got a shot of pink. Oh, oh. Just one taste, you'll be tickled pink with crispy corn puffs all gone in a blink. Puffs gone in a blink. Love Miss Pac-Man Marshmallow. She's got a shot of pink. Oh, oh.
Miss Pac-Man's inside Pac-Man cereal, part of this nutritious breakfast. Yeah.
Pac-Man's more fun, shot in pink. Yeah.
While Atari keeps trying to sell you new systems, like the 5200, with ColecoVision you only need one system, because ColecoVision expands to give you a Super Action controller set with Super Action Baseball, a driving module with Turbo, an expansion module to play all Atari 2600 games, and only ColecoVision plugs into the Atom module to become the complete Atom computer system. So if you don't want to keep buying new systems, there's only one system to buy, ColecoVision. Sorry, Atari.
Talk Radio X.
It's the Freddie Ford Show. Coming at you live on a weekly basis. Freddie Fork Show, great new podcast where we talk about Napoleonic figurine collections and much more. Tune in this week as we talk figurines with master collector Jarvis Merriweather III. He'll let us in on the secret release date of the Series 3 Bolshevik National Security Legion set. He'll also share some great tips on the proper cleaning, storing, and handling of your vintage figurine set. So tune in for all this fun and hijinks on the Freddie Fork Show. You can visit the Freddie Fork Show at www.uvaldacity.nv.us/users/index/67359-5/march/625.sht.html. Again, that's www.uvaldacity.nv.us/users/index/67359-5/march/625.html.
It's the Freddie Fork Show.
I love that guy.
Yeah, be sure to check out the Freddie Fork Show. It's genius. Just
I'm waiting for my Bolshevik collection to come in.
Yeah, what is that? What does that even entail? I don't know.
I had to order it just for grins.
We talked about a lot that Lost.
Forget about Napoleonic figurines.
We've talked a lot about how Lost, this is the best season so far. Most consistently good season, I would say. There have been a lot of great episodes in the history of the show, but they've strung together a lot. And the one from last week, the Constant, the Desmond episode, I thought was incredible. Just a great,
really good
compelling
episode.
Hour of television. The actor who plays Desmond, he's fantastic. It seems like they save the best stories for him, do they not?
Yeah.
He's
got to save the best stories for Jesus.
Yeah, that's what he looks like. And
he was Jesus in one of those Jesus movies.
Oh, really? Well,
like the Gospel of John or something. Yeah.
Now he's
every time I see it, I think he's going to go, "Hey, brother."
And he every episode they do where he has a flashback, he's all cleaned up, and then so
military shortcut.
So I guess
hair.
He has a weave or yeah. something on the show. But he's basically traveling back and forth in time, and they had Fisher Stevens on the show. How great was
nice.
That? He had a great role there.
The only thing that I didn't like was he didn't do his Indian accent.
But he's Dr. Minkowski, and he's like, "You're doing it too, aren't you?" And he's going back and forth through time. And I love the whole touch of, Daniel Faraday, the scientist? He says, "Go find me at Oxford." And that guy's doing experiments with rats where he sends a rat into the future or something. It's just crazy going through the maze.
And he goes into the future and then brings the rat back. Sends the mind into the future or something.
It's like your mind travels, not actually you physically. Yeah.
It's like a whole alternate dimension thing.
And it shows what
you
happens.
You know the Lost writers love Michio Kaku books, obviously.
Right. I don't.
The guy that does, like, he helped pioneer string theory and alternate dimensions, all that heady stuff.
Would that be Jimmy Mukaku? What?
No, Michio.
Oh.
But I hear he has a brother that looks a lot like him.
Yeah, Jimmy. I wonder if he has a MySpace. I don't know.
You guys have MySpace, or?
Why is that funny to us? I don't know. But this was a great Lost. I keep saying that, but it really was. This is why you watch Lost. Am I right? Just when you feel like you're getting something that's so well thought out, that they've been wanting to tell the story for so long. Just all that stuff with the...
Yeah, I'm glad they did the repeat before, two episodes this week, because I missed it last week.
ABC's been doing that every week, and it's really cool.
But what's with the pop-up bullshit?
They're giving you, I guess, little things that you might have missed.
It's more annoying than anything, I think.
Bullshit.
I
can't stand that.
It'd be different if you could have the option of watching it like that, but I don't want to watch anything with pop-ups. I'm sorry. Unless it's a DVD of Simon Pegg's and Edgar Wright's, because those are fun.
Pop-up video on VH1 from 10 years ago.
One of the coolest actual pop-up DVDs is Buckaroo Banzai. That is a really cool one. But
yeah,
anyway, I'm off the subject here.
Off the rails.
But the whole thing about him, he needs a constant or he's going to die. His brain, he's going to have an embolism. He can't take it. He needs something to ground him into present day, and that's Penny. And I love the moment. It could come off cheesy or something like that, but when he's going to call Penny. Saeed doesn't understand what the hell is going on. They can't take the time to explain to him because he never knows if he's going to slip in and out of time. But he helps him. He calls Penny. And I love in the past.
The time slips were great.
Yeah, they were. They're so well done. He said, I'm going to call you in 2004 and you need to answer. Whatever you do, it'll be Christmas Eve.
He's walking down the stairs and he stumbles. Next thing you know, he's leaning on the sink.
Yeah, that was
seamless.
And they showed
what was weird was, like, was it his 2004 mind was back in 1996 and his 1996 mind was in 2004? It's like the minds had to switch.
I don't know.
Or something.
I think, they showed the way Fisher Stevens was when he was in it. He was just kind of in a trance.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he wakes up and he goes, I'm back, or was I out again?
It's just
he didn't know who Saeed was.
That's because I believe he was disoriented and he was his 1996 self until he kind of reminded himself. Because remember at the very end, he goes, I'm with Saeed. And he remembers who Saeed is when he has that constant.
Once he makes that.
Yeah, with Penelope. And that was a great conversation that he has with her and everything. And it just feels like you watch a really good story.
Yeah.
And
it just makes me like, I want to see how this ends.
Right. It
like,
makes
they're
you
setting
excited
it up
for the
so
show.
Well.
And then you have this week's show, which is about Juliet. And it was kind of like, it's hard to top last week, so okay, I'll forgive the show.
It was nice to get the background on her and the whole Goodwin thing and all that.
Yeah.
When was the last time we saw Goodwin in an episode?
Yeah,
season two?
I know Goodwin now as Riggins' dad from Friday Night Lights.
Exactly.
I was like, hey, it's Riggins' dad. He's one of the others.
You know what? I couldn't remember where I saw him before, and you just confirmed it. That's right.
He's great. Good old Riggins' dad and his Conway Twitty CD.
And I keep laughing every time. I was like flipping, watching movies. I saw a Grindhouse Terror Planet, and then there's Saeed.
Yeah. I don't know. Let's Planet Terror.
Anyways,
what is with the gonads in there?
Spoilers.
Okay, anyway. Spoiler alert. Yeah. No, Brock alert. Brock alert. Okay, another thing here is this week, there was all the Juliet stuff, but the most interesting part of the show, I think, was Locke and Ben manipulating Locke so easily. He does it so easily. He's like, when's the revolution
just when you
started?
Think Locke is, getting, I don't know, smarter, it's like,
Locke is good at certain things, but he's not a leader. He's easily manipulated.
No.
You saw how his dad did it to him, and Ben can easily do it. And another thing about this is that girl comes to Juliet and said, Ben sent me. He wants you to do this. Mm-hmm. And you're like, well, Ben, he's in captivity. How can he do this? But remember, he's been under their captivity before, and he had everything planned out in advance. Is it possible?
But the way she disappeared, I was thinking maybe it was that Jacob.
And we haven't heard those whispers in so long, and those were back this week.
Yeah, that's why I thought maybe that the appearance was Jacob or the island or whatever you want to call it. Kind of like how Walt would appear to Locke at the end of last season.
Right, and he says, John, I will tell you everything if you let me live amongst you and stuff. And
see,
I'll
give
you this.
I was thinking, you know, all the time travel, it's the disembodied minds on that island. Maybe that's where your mind goes.
Maybe that's like their souls are trapped on the island.
How about this? Anyone who dies who doesn't have a constant like Desmond does.
Right.
There you go.
Inhabits the island kind of like just their whatever.
And
but
they
anyway,
can they
yeah,
can.
And also with the Desmond episode, the time travel episode, they worked in the whole electromagnetic field.
Right.
Like maybe because that electromagnet that they had to reset every 108 minutes has now, you know, released its power or whatever. Now the island is in some sort of, like, time warp issue.
Right.
Like the 31 minutes. Like the electromagnet maybe kept it in sync, and now that it's not there, it's starting to slip out of sync again.
I like that scene where Daniel Faraday says, has Desmond been around any kind of electromagnetic? He's like, yes, he has.
Radioactive.
Big time.
Also, I was reading that, you know, in order to time travel, you have to have an incredibly powerful source to initiate it. And that's, you know, they're using their science smarts in the show, and I love that.
In theory, like the theory of
they're using a scientific theory that they're incorporating into the show. It doesn't. It's not dumbed down. It's not like Smallville.
Right. That's another thing about this show is it feels like such smart people are writing it, unlike Heroes. Okay, the whole thing here is Ben is going to give Locke this piece of information, and I love scenes like this because I want to know exactly what he's telling Locke too, and I'm eating it up with a spoon. Let's check it out.
This is Charles Widmore. This is the man whose boat is parked offshore. This is the man that's been trying to find the island.
Who's the man in the blindfold?
One of my people that had the misfortune to get caught.
How does Widmore know about the island?
I don't know, but he does.
What does he want?
John, 3 months ago in Gainesville, Florida, the Virgin Mary seemed to appear in a patch of mold on the side of an old housing complex. When the word got out, over 5,000 people came to see her face for themselves. You've survived an airline crash on this island. One minute you're in a wheelchair, the next minute you're doing jumping jacks. If 5,000 people came out to see a piece of mold, how many people do you think would come here to see you? Charles Widmore wants to exploit this island, and he'll do everything in his power to possess it.
I love that because last week we saw that Charles Widmore was bidding an auction for not only a painting of the Black Rock ship, which is there on the island, but also the diary of the shipmate, the first mate.
The log, yeah.
What I love, and I mentioned to you this week, what I love about this involvement now, like this reveal of the Widmore stuff, is that the novel that they had for the Lost Experience, that Bad Twin.
Right, right.
I read it, you know, a year ago, and a lot of it had to do with, like, the background of the Widmore family.
Right.
Like, this investigator, God, what was his name?
He was one of the people.
Paul Artisan is hired to find a twin named Xander Widmore, who by his twin brother Cliff Widmore. And it works into, like, who's controlling the company and all that. But what's, like, a key piece of information I remember is that in Chapter 6, it's mentioned that the Hanzo Foundation and the Widmore Corporation is in the same building. So they're basically hand in hand, or maybe there's some sort of like civil war right now going on where they want to take it back or something. I don't know. It's so the story arc is so deep.
Right. And also,
well, that was in the pop-up that the Hanzos owned that logbook, but Widmore bought it.
Well, yeah, it was Tobard Hanzo, written by Tobard Hanzo, and Alvar Hanzo started the Dharma Initiative. But also, you have this week the Dr. Faraday and the chick, I forget her name, they're going to the Tempest, the power station, and the chick tells them they're going to unleash a gas that'll kill everyone, so you need to go and stop it. And she goes there, and the guy's actually rendering it inert, the gas, so they can't have this purge again. Like, remember last season's episode where Ben helped the others? Basically, they gassed everyone, killed everyone on the island, including his dad, and then they could just take control of the island. They didn't.
And I love that. I love how they always tie in the loose ends from the other seasons that people were pissed off about.
Right. And what it tells me here is Faraday, who he works for, knew that's how they killed everyone. So there's their first mission, go this place and get rid of that gas so they can't do that again. You need to do that. That's like one of your number one priorities. And they did that in this episode.
So Widmore knows what's going on the island.
Somehow somebody got some kind of message back, word back. Now, there's also the idea of Ben told Locke, he said, I'll tell you who my man is on the boat, and it's going to blow your mind. Everyone pretty much predicted it's Michael, Walt's dad, and I think it will be.
That was obviously part of the entire release thing.
Right.
Like, if you let me get off the island and then, you know, however it worked, I'm sure we'll find out next week.
I mean, Walt could even be involved. I mean, maybe he's older now, and he's actually Ben's agent, and Michael's there. I don't know. Now, that's a little far-fetched. But anyway, I got to say one thing. The countdown to 1 second, I had just gotten done watching Galaxy Quest again on HBO, and when they were doing the gas will be released in 1 second or whatever, I was like, I can't believe the clock went down to 1 second like it does in so many things.
You know what? I was thinking the same thing, but then I went, you know what? These guys are too smart to play with that sort of thing. It's just their homage.
I really think they were like, we got to have it come down to 1 second.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they're geeks too, so they know that stuff.
And I got to say, that Juliet kicked that chick's ass, didn't she? They were like beating the crap out of each other. The guy's like, no, hey, hold on. He's like trying to type in. I love the sound effects on the show. The alarms going off. Just the distinct sound effects.
Foley artists have a blast.
It's awesome.
Creating the sound effects for that show.
It's almost like the saxophone on Big Brother.
I think they get all that music for Big Brother from music.podshow.com.
I know, on Big Brother. They showed a scene where Matt, I forgot to mention this, they're talking and he just lays a kiss on her. And all of a sudden, right when he kisses her, you hear this. the sultry sax. Okay, that's another thing. At the end, okay, basically what you learned from this episode is that Ben wants Juliet. Not only does
Ben
he want
creepy.
Her, not only does he want her, she's already his. She's his property. And there's that great scene. She's having an affair with Goodwin. He goes, I need to show you something. And it's poor Goodwin there with a stick through his chest. It's just the most horrible thing you could see. Not only do you see someone you love dead, but they got a friggin' giant stick shoved in their heart.
Ashy looking and dead.
And she's like, why would you show me this? You mean as opposed to his wife, Juliet? You really don't know? It's because you're mine. And then he walks away and he goes, oh, and take as much time as you want. And he walks away, he's like, that son of a bitch. That evil,
creepy.
Gotta
love how mental he is.
How fantastic is that actor, by the way?
At the end of the last line that you played with of him, he kind of reminded me of Christian. There's a little,
Ooh, everybody looks fierce.
That would be great if he walks out the next episode. He goes, oh, everybody looks so fierce.
Locke, you look fierce in that vest.
Play that last old
Locke,
bit of Locke,
I love that
where he
scar on
talking.
Cheek.
Charles Widmore wants to exploit this island, and he'll do everything in his power to possess it.
Everything.
Yeah.
That just...
And you gotta,
the guy,
you gotta
he was hitting a lock. That's what was going on.
The music is just so classically cool.
And I love
the whole sci-fi touch to it, all the strings.
Oh, I love Michael Giacchino or whatever, but I love the part when Ben says, I really should have told you all of this to begin with. I should have trusted you enough to... It's like, well, yeah, it's starting to look like the others and the people on the boat. If there would have been a little trust involved, you just sat everyone down and explained everything, people would have said, you know what, Ben? No, you don't need the manipulation shit. We understand. It could have been like that. Just have a sit down.
It all goes back to like one of the first episodes that involve Locke, as he's like middle management worker at a company, and even his boss says, you know, you're not management type. You'll never be a leader. You're just not a leader.
And he seems cool when he's on his own, going solo. And oh, the best part of the episode is they show Hurley and Sawyer playing horseshoes, and Hurley does this great shot, and he goes, well, it looks like I'm lucky. And they turn, and Ben's walking with his clothes. He goes, see you at dinner, guys. And he goes in his house, and they're
like, it's hilarious.
They both have these dumbfounded looks on their faces.
I was waiting to hear like the Leave It to Beaver theme as he's just strolling with his blanket.
I love this. Well, but did you guys, okay, the part at the end when Juliet is like, you know, I can never get away from Ben and people I love die or some shit, and Jack plants a wet one on her. What? And then you hear, what? Is the steamy sax really necessary at that part?
It's always necessary.
That's like I said, that Michael Giacchino music's terrific.
Steamy sax.
It's just
sax.
When to use it.
You know what, guys? Let's do some news. What do you say, Bill?
Let's do it.
Know. Do you? I don't know. Do you? I think you do. Do you?
Let's do it! Now, Bill, before we do the news, Foggy was just telling me that I totally skipped the Flavor of Love segment, and I just got to play this for a second. We can't skip this because on the episode, one of the chicks named Hotlanta, she's got what looks like a cold sore on her lip. And everyone's like, she's got herpes. She got herpes. That's nasty. And she's like, I don't have herpes. So, basically, Flav is like, I'm going to give you a test. The doctor's going to take a sample from your cold sore, and we're going to test it, and we'll see what it is. But you got to check this out. It's ridiculous.
I feel like I have been portrayed as the stripper of herpes, you know? I'm like, dude, I don't have no cooties.
As Hotlanta was talking to me and talking to me and talking to me, I wasn't listening. I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get to the bottom of this.
I said, you know what? I'm going to go through it just for Flav.
So the guy sticks a needle right in it.
Ow. He jabs me in my face. That just totally made it worse.
You okay?
All right.
I'm like, oh, my God. If it's herpes, her life is about to be ruined unless she starts doing commercial Valtrax.
Wow.
Hotlanta has suffered from a mild outbreak of... acne.
Well, honey, you volunteered to be on the show. That's all I can say.
I'd be weary of the chick that knew the name of the medicine that controls herpes.
Yeah, Valtrex. I got a prescription to that. Oh.
I loaned her some mine.
All right.
I think she has herpes simplex 12.
12. Good Lord. All right, Bill, what do we got in the news this week?
Oh, and by the way, the Lost thing, you were talking about the Hurley scene with the horseshoes.
Uh-huh.
Is it just me or... I mean, I'm not one to talk. I'm a fat ass, but is he getting bigger? Like his head looks bigger.
I think he is. And they're showing us, I'll add on to that, that his luck is changing. Remember, he hit every basket playing basketball. It shows that he's good at horseshoes, so something's going on there.
You guys have MySpace, or?
All right, let's do some news. This one is for a Sunday night show, the Twisted Blue Room, or Blue's Twisted Room, or whatever the hell that disaster is. Here on Talk Radio X.
Ooh, ten
arrested in a sexting at a video store. Some of the 10 men arrested Thursday at an adult video store in Wichita, Kansas, exposed themselves to undercover police officers and groped them.
Ooh.
Wow.
An undercover sting operation at Vegas Video resulted in the arrests of 10 men on suspicion of various moral crimes, including sexual battery, public nudity, and lewd and lascivious behavior. The five-hour operation took place Thursday. Two undercover officers worked from 5 to 10 p.m. backed by two supervisors and two uniformed officers. Sergeant Randy Reynolds, now that's like a porn name, that's perfect for this, said undercover officers sat in a booth where customers can watch movies on coin-fed machines. Some of the men arrested came in and exposed themselves. Some of them can be quite aggressive, Reynolds said.
Oh, dear.
Good Lord. Take it! Take it all!
Beautiful cowboy.
That penis on your breath!
Hey, don't these guys have VCRs at least?
I know. Who goes to a sex shop for a coin-operated booth?
I know.
What is this, a Madonna video?
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, maybe they just live with their mom or something.
And why are they sharing a booth with another dude?
Yeah, why would you ever open the booth and go, hey, let's do it.
You could do You could do a whore bath and get paid to do it, I guess.
At least do a whore bath.
Oh, good Lord. Whore bath. Okay, a New York woman finds $15,000 in the middle of the road. The bag apparently fell after a worker left it on a car roof. Linda Harwood seems to have a knack for finding lost cash. She was driving on Route 3 in Plattsburgh, New York, earlier this week when she spotted a bag in the middle of the road. It was a bank deposit bag containing $15,000 in cash. Okay. Now, if you see a bag in the middle of the road, do you stop to pick up the bag?
Hell yeah.
Just any bag. You just go, okay, you know what? I should stop and pick that up.
Probably.
If I've got the penchant of finding bags with money in them, yes.
No, if I can't see the money, no. But if the money's sticking out of it, I might stop.
All right, so what shocks me in this story is if there's $15,000 in cash, untraceable, fell off some car, whatever, do you take it to the police and turn it in? Seriously.
Well, she said, you said it had a bank deposit.
So yeah, it did. Okay. It had a bank deposit bag containing $15,000 in cash. It doesn't say it had a deposit slip in it. But she turned the bag into Plattsville police, who tracked down the bank and the money's owner, a local scrap metal business. An employee says she believes she placed the bag on the top of her car during a stop at a local hardware store and drove off with the bag still on her roof. Harwood says returning the money was simply the right thing to do. She says a few years ago she found a pocketbook filled with money in the parking lot. Harwood mailed it back to the Vermont woman who lost it.
That's nice of her.
How can I walk that bitch anytime?
You know, it's different if it's a, I don't know, maybe it's just how crooked I am. It's different if it's a business than if it's a person. If it's a person, you send it back to them. If it's a business, they write it off.
If it's a bag full of money with no,
there's no way of,
no disclaimer to it.
Tracing who did it. Like, I found,
if it didn't have a bank bag that you knew it goes, okay, it's going to the First National Bank of blah, blah, blah.
I found a $100 bill on the floor before at a Walmart. Now, what do I do? Do I pick it up, stick it in my pocket, or do I go, hey, is this anybody's $100 here?
You pick it up and put it in your pocket.
Which is exactly what I did.
I've done that walking across parking lots, found fives, tens, or twenties.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do about it,
Yeah, that's a...
I mean, what are you going to do?
It's a tough break. You know what? I've lost money before.
I don't know. Do you? I think you do. Do you?
You know, and I get it's just part of life.
Right.
Maybe you weren't supposed to have it. It's mine now. Ha ha. Like, thank you, God.
Yeah.
All right. So this is really just weeks ago we were talking about how great The Last Starfighter is. And
oh, genius.
I watched it last night.
The Last Starfighter sequel is a go. Lance Guest agrees to reprise role.
Yeah, I'm not doing anything, so yeah.
Yeah, he was on Jericho for one episode.
Get out of here.
He was on Jericho and he got killed.
He died of a heart attack. I was just about to start watching.
Well, spoiler, Brock alert.
We die.
No, he
So
died.
I guess maybe Xur is back in action.
Damn,
I don't know.
Xur and the Kodan Armada. I'm ready,
Bill. They died.
You know, by the way, just this has nothing to do with Last Starfighter, but I got Tron on Xbox Live. I'm like, sweet, the original arcade game Tron is on Xbox Live, and I can play it on my TV. And I paid for it, and I was playing it, and I was like, this sucks.
I just shoved
quarters into this hunk of shit.
It loses its, you know, novelty when you have to play it with a controller.
And get this.
You need that joystick and the spinner.
This isn't the day where the game never ends. It's just, like, gets progressively harder. Yeah. It's the same thing over and over. Yeah, sure. You know what's hard? The part with the three tanks, and you've run one tank. I can't get past it. It was pissing me off.
I have a hard time getting past the first stage of the tanks, let alone the second one when they add three more tanks.
Yeah, and the three light cycles. I never got past that in the arcade ever, the three light cycles.
I always had a problem with in the arcade was the one where you had to get into the NPC. You had to, like, shoot the box, like, break out.
What level design was that? Like, you're shooting a cone? Whatever.
And then the damn spiders where you had the time limit where you had to shoot through the spiders and get into the...
Who designed this game? What does that even mean?
I know. It has nothing to do with the movie. All right.
But
so, The Last Starfighter sequel is a go. Garth Franklin over at Dark Horizons reported the rumors of the sequel are true and it's going into production. They're ready to begin principal photography. And Lance Guest, who's now 47,
everybody's been talking about,
will reprise his role as Alex Rogan.
That's awesome. So it's basically going to be the son of Last Starfighter.
Yeah, I think so. It's like I said, I think Xur will show up again, and he'll have, like, a whole new armada. Maybe it'll be the Rodan armada.
The only thing is, I really hope they put some more work into the alien look, because they all just had male pattern baldness, and that was, they were aliens. So
I wonder if they're going to get the son of Dan O'Herlihy to...
Oh, that would be great.
Fracker.
Finish the game!
Fracker.
The genius Fracker from
Fracker
Rock. Is it Fraker or Fracker? I'm never sure about
Fracker,
that.
Fraggle Rock.
I watched that the other day too. God, I've been in a movie just.
Yes.
Burglars.
They killed the
have
Giggler!
Been...
All right.
They should not have killed the Giggler.
You know what? The Giggler may have gotten an elephant pistol in the back, but Fracker got a freaking.
He's stealing the camera while he's eating a popsicle. I'll just bait the Giggler with my popsicle, my camera. Let's see if he comes by.
Yeah, they roll him over.
He
not
baited
much
the
left
Giggler.
Him.
Yeah, that part where they go, there's not much left of him. He's got a hole in his chest. There's plenty left of him. What? It's not like he blew his head clean off.
They couldn't do that because they shot the movie as like a PG rating. There's no blood in it.
They just got to give him a whore bath.
And I like
war bath, war bath. At least do a whore bath.
I love the end when he blows him away with the RPG, but it's like they knew.
Yeah, they can feel Fracker's spirit die. No one saw him die. They just assumed he's dead.
Saw the explosion of the side of the building, and they're like, oh, no.
You see the wolf,
the disturbance in the force.
What was Fracker's first name? Does anyone ever know?
Jonathan
Fred Fracker?
No, it's Jimmy.
Jimmy Fracker?
There's no guy named Jimmy.
Yes, we do.
All right, so burglars have been done in by donuts in Roseburg, Oregon. When two guys in cowboy garb... cowboy garb. Offered the sheriff deputies donuts, and then the deputies investigated a burglary involving donuts in the prints of the cowboy boots, and didn't take Sherlock Holmes to crack the case.
Wait, what kind of cowboy?
Beautiful cowboy.
Beautiful cowboys.
The officers kind of put two and two together, District Attorney Dave Hopkins said. Sheriff's deputies reported they found
case
Hancock.
Case closed.
Dude, the guy's name is Hancock.
So
Adam Hancock, 21, and his cousin Vincent Whitley, 19, in Roseburg were sentenced to theft and burglary charges. Shortly afterward, the officers investigated burglary at a store from which cigarettes, candy, chewing gum, and the Telltale donuts were missing, and there were boot prints. And his attorney said Hancock had mental disabilities and was easily led. Hancock told the judge he'd been drinking whiskey before the burglary and vowed to make a restitution of $895.
That's
not good. He got a 10-day jail term and credit for time served. Whitley pleaded guilty to the same charge last month and got the same sentence. So the guy was he was retarded?
He's easily led when he's drinking whiskey.
So he's a dumbass.
Thanks, Vanessa.
Hey, it's Vanessa.
Hey, officers, you want some donuts? Don't look at my boots. All right.
I mean, if you're going to decide to turn to a life of crime, shouldn't you weigh the odds with even what is it worth what you're going to commit the crime for? Like,
yeah.
Hey, man, I'm going to rip me off one of them HD DVD. Dude, it's not worth it. Steal a Blu-ray at least.
Let's get cigarettes, candy, chewing gum, and some donuts.
And then we'll offer them to some police officers.
Yeah, we'll give them to police officers, and then they can track our boot prints.
Hey, man, you piggies want some of this?
Yeehaw!
You don't call them that, you know?
I smell bacon.
Hold my penis and take a laser to it.
All right, a woman gets 2 years for a breakup bomb hoax.
Huh?
Dumb girl. Woman who called in a bomb threat to an airport in an attempt to break up with her boyfriend was sentenced to 2 years in prison. Amy Wormley, 36, of Hobbs, New Mexico, also was ordered to pay $19,760. How do they come up with the $761 on top of the $19?
$61.
So she has to pay that in restitution for phoning in the threat to San Antonio International Airport. Federal prosecutors said she admitted calling the airport several times, April 21st, to claim there was a bomb aboard a Southwest Airlines flight bound for Dallas.
Go get your wings, pig!
Five of the 36 phone calls were recorded. 36?
Good Lord.
The plane was diverted and its 120 passengers evacuated. No explosives were found. Wormley told investigators she was trying to end a relationship with her boyfriend, who was a passenger on the flight. She believed he would leave her alone after finding out she made the calls.
What?
I heard that.
I'd leave her alone, too.
She's quite the tactician, isn't she?
Yeah, she's really, really good at Metal Gear Solid. She's very tactical.
It was a joke!
How many years has she got for to be left alone now?
Now she can maybe put that time to a criminal degree. Okay, a Lincoln, Nebraska man allegedly impersonated a cop. Excellent. A parolee is in custody after he allegedly used a siren on his pickup truck Monday to stop another vehicle, then falsely identified himself as a police officer.
Oh dear.
Dumb shit. Sean Lawrence Gilbert, 31, of Lincoln, allegedly wore a pistol or a replica in a holster as he demanded to see the driver's license, vehicle registration, and insurance. The victim, 24-year-old Roseville man, said he and two passengers were northbound on Fittiment Road. Fittiment Road? I wonder if Fitty Cent owns that road.
Filament? Fittiment?
No, it's Fittiment. F-I-D-D-Y.
Son of a bitch!
Fittiment! So Fittiment Road about 5 p.m. when a green pickup truck began following closely and a siren was activated. The driver turned onto a nearby street in a residential area and stopped. The occupants became suspicious and demanded to see the badge and identification of the man who pulled them over.
Help me, Jesus!
The man refused and left, but not before others noticed his truck's personalized license plate.
He also had truck balls.
Oh, my God. Officers went to Gilbert's home and arrested him on suspicion of impersonating a peace officer, driving without a license, and violating parole.
Wow.
He's being held without bail in Placer County Jail. Gunther said police could not find a pistol or replica, but that the siren was confiscated from his truck. What an idiot. He probably went to a toy store and got like a pleather holster, one of those silver cap guns.
Come quietly or there will be trouble.
Yes. Oh,
dead or
God,
alive, you are coming with me.
Personalized license plates.
Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
Exactly.
Yeah, he was doing his RoboCop imitation.
Nice.
You guys
okay,
are
so
or...
on Wednesday night, Steve Wiebe appeared at a Microsoft Mix 08 event in Las Vegas.
Really?
With referee Walter Day. To try and beat Billy Mitchell's recent score of 1,050,200 points on Donkey Kong.
That's right, because he passed the record.
Yeah, he did.
He broke
by about
his record.
Yeah, by about 1,000 point.
Right.
Approximately 929,000 reached the kill screen, but he did not beat Billy Mitchell. What is even worse is that
that's good stuff.
Slash Film ran the story, and they got an update from none other than Billy Mitchell, who emailed the message that Steve had not beaten his record.
Oh, he made sure that they knew?
Yes.
Oh, well,
so he emailed them to brag that he's still the record holder.
Nice. Well, that's nice of him, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Incredible douchebag.
Beautiful specimen.
You know, I just wanted to bring this story up real quick because it reminded me of Demolition Man. South Pasadena, California is on the edge of becoming a cuss-free zone. So if you're headed to South Pasadena anytime this week or next, be sure to turn down the volume on any CDs that have graphic language, because you will get a fine. From
Can you try
Dr.
not to swear too much in this brief conversation?
From Dr. Cocteau in his... John Spartan, you receive one demerit for the, what was it, verbal morality statute.
Yeah. I just remember the murder death kills.
Murder death kill? A 187?
You were eating it up.
God, some of that movie is so awkward.
Some of it.
Most of it. Especially the monologue that Dennis Leary gives in the friggin' sewers as Edgar Friendly. I want to run around with green jello all over me.
They basically, at that part, they said, hey, do your stand-up bit in the movie.
Do your bit about Cindy Crawford for us.
Yeah. Exactly.
Do what you do on MTV.
Are you all sweat?
Huh?
All right. So, next news story. In Shreveville, Indiana, a couple who allegedly planted live worms in a restaurant entree to scam a free meal have been arrested and charged with conversion.
Have no
cookies. That's not a funny joke. Worms in a restaurant? No.
Tiffany Vance of Merrillville and her dinner date, Christopher Egnatz of St. John, tried to make a scene Tuesday night after dining in Applebee's, but it didn't play out as they planned. Servers at the crowded restaurant let the couple walk out on a $57 meal after Vance loudly complained she had found worms wiggling in her salad.
That's the kind of thing that traumatizes you for life.
Yeah, but see, the problem here is the woman who claimed this, she left a plastic container of maggot-like bee moth worms inside when she left. Waitress searching for identification of the purse found the container and called police. Police officer taken a few minutes later to file a report, and they arrested them.
Oh.
So don't try to place
Worms.
Oh, I get it.
Meals. At least don't leave the evidence behind.
Yeah, don't leave the evidence. Okay. Astronauts on the International Space Station are to get an unusual treat, an MP3 player loaded with a playlist of songs specially chosen for the people in orbit. The songs were chosen by a 14-year-old Norwegian girl, so you can imagine how good they are.
Nice.
If I was one of these astronauts, I would kill myself. Okay, here's the songs. Here Comes the Sun by the Beatles.
Okay.
Not terrible.
Not too bad.
Come Fly With Me by Frank Sinatra. Again, not terrible.
Yeah, okay.
Rocket Man by Elton John.
Okay, you're pushing, again, pushing it a little bit.
Yeah, that's pushing it. Up Where We Belong, Joe Cocker. Yeah. Imagine by John Lennon, a song I've heard way too many times.
But that's not bad, yeah.
Flash Dance and What a Feeling by Irene Cara.
Yikes.
Okay.
Yeah, Walk of Life by Dire Straits.
Okay, you're that's just to be mean.
Fly by Celine Dion.
Okay.
Okay, now this is...
I'm over the edge of the...
What? Rockin' All Over the World by Status Quo. Wasn't that the song in Explorers? Or maybe I'm wrong, I don't know.
Was this song on there?
Sorry.
Oh, yeah! That would have been an awesome wake-up.
And the topper... I Believe I Can Fly.
I believe I can fly in space.
I believe I can pee on young women and tape it.
Oh, dear.
All right, let's do some DVDs. Cowboy.
Let's do some DVDs!
Ow! Let's do some DVDs! Let's do some DVDs! Let's do some DVDs!
DVDs! DVDs!
HD, Blu-ray, and DVDs!
Oh, hell yes, the DVDs, everybody! Oh, yeah! Gay rave, everybody! You are the fears! Good times. All right, Bill, what DVDs do we have?
All right, not a lot of DVDs this week.
And not a lot of time. Man, show has been jam-packed, and I'll let you get right to it.
All right, first DVD is And Justice for All Special Edition.
Yes, a Metallica movie.
Yeah, we're all out of order. I don't know what's so damn special about it, but it's out, and it's special.
It's, you know what? It is special.
You it's were eating it up.
Not necessarily a movie I would buy. I'd watch if it was on Turner Classic Movies, but I don't think I'd buy it. Next film is August Rush with the...
I think he's in the closet.
Kerry Russell, Robin Williams, Terrence Howard, Freddie Highmore.
Whore bath. At least do a whore bath.
Is that about a whore bath?
No, I think it's about some kid that's a musician and parents that don't know they have a kid or somehow. I don't know.
Who's going to give it to her, huh, my man?
You.
Looks dumb.
Yeah.
This one confuses me. Bachelor Party 2, The Last Temptation.
Is Adrian Zmed in it? That's all I need to know.
I don't doubt it. There's absolutely no information.
How is it? It should be Bachelor Party 3 because there's a Bachelor Party 2 Vegas party.
You know that?
Is this like...
Unfortunately,
is
yes.
Is this like the American Pie movies? Like,
no, but this... You know what? Maybe it should be 3. I don't know. But it's got Harlan Williams in it, who's like now the...
Hey, he is the Rocket Man.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Him and the monkey going to Mars and eating all the food and playing with it before they get there.
Well,
Stop!
Next DVD is B-Movie, the Jerry Seinfeld CGI
What is
movie.
The deal with this animation?
What's the deal with these bees?
You know what? I saw the B-Movie with my daughter, and it's cool. You know, it's got fantastic animation. It's got Jerry Seinfeld. What else do you want? You know what
What's
I'm saying?
The deal? With Jerry Seinfeld.
Wiener Poopy.
And that's exactly right.
There is no Wiener Poopy, as far as I know.
Next DVD is Dan in real life.
Sorry. It's what?
Dan in Real Life, starring Steve Carell.
Radio Dan in Real Life?
No, I'm sorry. Sadly, not.
You
not Dan Delgado in Real Life.
Nice.
So it says, I love the synopsis of it. Steve Carell, Hollywood's leading funny man, stars in this hilarious comedy that's bursting with charm. It's like, God.
I'm sorry I called you faggy.
Best moment on The Office ever.
Gay, all right. Good.
Next DVD is Gattaca Special Edition, one of my all-time favorites, but for some reason...
Gattaca! Gattaca! Oh, sorry. I do that joke every time. Sorry, I got you.
They're calling this a special edition because it has Welcome to Gattaca featurette on it. Wow.
Nice.
Thanks.
Welcome to Gattaca.
Next DVD is Hitman Unrated Special Edition, starring Timothy Oliphant.
Timothy Oliphant in Hitman? Wait, that's a Chuck Norris movie. They can't fool me.
No, this is the one based on that stupid video game I never played that has a million different versions of
it. Oh, where he's bald and has a barcode?
Agent 47. Yes. And he works for some monks or some shit.
It shows him jumping through the air to opera music. Sold, yes. I'm there. No,
it
actually,
wouldn't be a cliched, horrible action movie if it didn't have a slow-mo opera scene.
Why did they have Tim Oliphant in it?
Because Oliphant they couldn't find
banana,
anyone else.
They like come and me wanna go home.
Is it Oliphant?
That's some romantic music.
That is. Gets me all hot and bothered. Next DVD set is Leprechaun Triple Feature.
Sweet.
One Gruesome Leprechaun, Three Terrifying Tales.
Hey, Steven, the Leprechaun!
Oh, God, you gotta love Warwick Davis playing an evil leprechaun.
Can I be a little impudent here?
Check
so
out
we got Leprechaun
early
1,
Jennifer
2, and
Aniston
3.
Movie.
Willow, what happened to you? Did you get reconstructive surgery? What the hell's going on here?
Next DVD is No Country for Old Men.
I'm gonna have me some fun. I'm gonna have me some fun. I'm gonna have me some fun. I'm gonna have me some fun.
What the hell?
I'm gonna have me some fun.
I don't recall Bill Duke being in No Country for Old Men.
Oh, it's a great scene. It's the director's cut.
Oh, okay.
It's awesome. No Country for Old Men, Blu-ray?
Yes, Blu-ray. It is also available on Blu-ray.
Yes, on HD
but
Blu-ray.
You know what? This is one of those movies that is screaming for a special edition. And this is pretty bare bones.
Yeah, they always
so
do that.
So you know there's going to be some...
It just won Best Picture. You got to get it out there, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's better if maybe you let them wait a bit.
Well, that might be the renter copy, and then you wait for the special edition. For
you want a piece of me?
Now, let me ask you this. It's a fantastic film, but is it the kind you watch over and over again?
No, it's really not.
Maybe
it's not the movie going, you know what, I really got to buy that because I want to watch it more than once.
I do want to watch it again just because my wife hasn't seen it. I'll watch it with her, but it's not really the kind like, hey, man, I got to watch that again. And even though it is a great film, it's just certain films are the kinds you watch over and over again, say like The Last Starfighter or Raising Arizona. You can watch Raising Arizona every time it's on television, just over and over and over again. But, you know, No Country
Commando.
For Old Men, you know, maybe Fargo, I've seen a million times. I don't know.
Yeah,
Commando,
I can watch Fargo over and over.
Steven, you're very right about Commando. And in fact, whenever it's on, my wife goes, oh, no, because she knows I'm like, this isn't getting changed. It's staying on this channel.
I eat green berets for breakfast.
Right now, I'm very hungry.
Very hungry.
Man, listen to the bass of that punch. If you got punched and there was bass to it, wouldn't it like snap your spine?
Yeah, he was just slapping a ham loaf.
Fuck you,
all right,
asshole.
So next DVD is Sleuth.
What?
What did I miss?
A line from Commando.
Oh, okay. Next DVD is Sleuth, a film directed by Kenneth Branagh, starring Jude Law
Gang
and Michael Caine.
By a gaggle of silverback apes.
I've never heard of this. I don't even know if it got a theatrical release. Maybe it did, maybe it didn't. But Kenneth Branagh is not that bad a director.
No, he's not. I remember he was on a roll for a while, and then he's doing smaller films now, as they say. Yes, I got nothing.
If you haven't seen Sinbad in a long time...
Sinbad!
This next DVD is for you. It's called Stompin'. And it says, because of the preferential treatment given to Jason Jackson by his father, Ryan Jackson, two brothers, Jason and Ryan Jr., have struggled to have a brotherly relationship ever since they were kids. Now seniors in college, Ryan is heading to medical school.
Why are you talking in that voice, Bill?
That's my ghetto voice.
You were loving it.
And Jason is on the way to becoming the number one draft pick in the next baseball draft. But their relationship has reached its boiling point. Will two brothers be able to reconcile their relationship before a tragic accident happens on campus? Stompin' with Sinbad.
Stompin'?
What does Stompin' have anything to do with what I just read? Maybe they're going to dance it out or something. If you could serve.
Are there any stop-motion skeletons in this? Because that's kind of Sinbad movies I like.
That's what I thought you were going for when you said Sinbad.
I mean Sinbad.
Sinbad.
All right, and last DVD, Tin Man, two disc collector's edition, the reimagining that aired on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Oh yeah, that looked kind of cool, but then when it came out, I was like, doesn't look.
Yeah,
good.
The first half was interesting. The last half was just like, wow, this is awful.
Yeah, did not.
And that is DVDs for next week, Tuesday, March 11th.
You, that's who.
And Bill, mention our MySpace.
You guys on MySpace or?
Yeah,
yeah,
just
we do.
Nowhere Mulberry on MySpace. Be our
friend.
Yeah,
just go to nimlive.com.
Hey, I just want to say I'm proud of our friends on MySpace. If you look, we have Takashi Mike, Takashi Mike. We also have Evil Bert as our friend.
Evil Burt rocks.
How awesome is that? We have Kesar from BB6.
We have B-Dub as a friend yet? I love that guy.
Yes, we do. No,
he's hilarious.
We need to get
Eddie Deason as a friend.
Yeah, we do. I wonder if he has
a MySpace. Everybody looks fierce.
I don't think he has a MySpace, but he needs one immediately.
Yes, he does. All right, guys.
I have him on my MySpace page as the greatest man alive.
He is.
We need to hunt him down.
All right, Bill, thanks for doing the DVDs.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And scene.
All right, Foggy, we're running out of time. Oh, wait. Rave.
Hey, Rave.
You guys look fierce, you guys.
Hey, someone stick something in my butt.
What?
I'm so sorry.
Thank you, Stevie Sacks. All right, everybody, that was episode 114 of Nowhere on Mulberry. Thank you for joining us. If you'd like to go to nowhereonmulberry.com, you can find links to Mulberry Old School. And you can find links to our email at dimpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back next week talking Lost and Dancing with the Stars or some shit like that. I got nothing. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Good night, everybody.
We'll know next week.
I don't know. Do you? I think you do. Do you?
Do you guys know a guy named Jimmy? All right, everybody. Thanks for knowing it was the hill. Are you going to be with us next week, Steven? All right, man.
I'll be here.
Do you guys know a guy named Jimmy?
My dad.
Oh, that's Jimmy. He looks just like his brother, man.
I should look like his son.
Yeah, just like his son.
My older brother's technically a Jimmy. There's two Jimmys in my family.
Ooh,
the two Jimmys.
I'm confused.
Whore bath.
At least do a whore bath today, Tyra. You stink.
Yeah, I'll do a whore bath.
Now this is podcasting.